you know, I was making barbecue, briskets, whatever it was, and I was giving them away in open houses. I was you know, attaching barbecue to my offers to like eight, whatever I can do. By the way, I still do that sometimes, you know, when I have to give some, when I need to sweeten the deal, I'll throw in a rack of ribs. but that's how it started. And it really took on a life of its own.
What is up, and welcome to another episode of In a Minute with Evan Lovett. And today's guest has inspired a little bit of a format change, because this is somebody I go back with personally, and somebody who has a very interesting story that I want to bring out in a specific way in a fun format. So we are going to do 10 LA questions with my guest, Bert Bachman. Bert, thank you for being here. I appreciate you, my man.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. This is amazing. I love
Absolutely.
It.
So Bert, you may have heard of, is a kind of living a dual life, if you will. He has a day job, but then he has a real vocation that we all know him for. Yeah. He is a realtor slash pit master, one of the, I would go as far as saying, one of the most legendary pit masters in LA and now nationwide as well. Started with Trudy's Underground Barbecue. Slab is probably was like the certified seal that like, you're like, okay, you have restaurants, yes. Like you're the real deal. And he's got new projects coming up, Trudy's and Friends.
Yeah.
But he's just got a really good story and a good LA story. You know how he's like the immigrants made good story. This is what we got here. So, Bert Bachman, again, welcome to the show.
Amazing to be here. Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And again, shout out to our sponsor, Arto Brick, my man Armin, third generation LA American Dream Story down in Gardena, fabricating tiles, bricks, all kinds of different materials in Los Angeles, doing manufacturing, employing dozens of people. And you know what? It's not just any tiles and bricks. It's historic landmarks, Alvarez Street, Plaza de Cultura y Artes, Mariachi Plaza, USC. I want to say Ojai Valley Inn, does some stuff for Vallarta. So great biz, support Arto Brick. If you have any interior design, architecture needs, great company, great person.
Amazing.
So Bert, before we start with the new format, I got to talk about how we first met or how we didn't meet.
Love it.
Now, you launched something called Trudy's Underground Barbecue.
Yeah.
What year was that?
I think Trudy's started like 2015, 16, something like that. It's about 2016, 10 years ago.
Okay. Wow.
That was a whole trend just now. 2016, 2016.
Oh, you need to jump on. Let's do it.
That's right.
That's awesome, by the
that's
way.
So funny.
So 10 years. So now Trudy, I'm a big barbecue guy. And we're going to get into this. My dad used to take me to a place called Hoggly Woggly's.
Legendary place.
In Van Nuys.
Amazing.
And the beef ribs were monstrous dinosaur ribs. That was my barbecue spot growing up. But LA always seemed to have, not always, there are good spots, but I wouldn't call it a barbecue city. At least 10 years ago, it was not a barbecue city. For all of our great food, it was not a bar. And at this era, when it was, you know, what I say, I don't want to put it this way, but it's true. What was recognized as LA's golden era culinarily, when Food and Wine and Bon Appetit were still relevant, and they were saying LA is the most exciting new food city, even though we know, and I know the food's been here forever, and like we love it in our strip mall stuff, and thank you, Jonathan Gold, but we're finally getting the recognition as a great culinary city. There wasn't a lot of barbecue.
That's right.
But there were pop-ups, and like that was the thing. Like that, you know, you guys remember the trend where there were like pop-ups and like what's it called? Starry Night. There was one. Ludo had one.
Yeah, yeah. Ludo had it was amazing what he was doing.
Probably the most renowned.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, Trudy's Underground Barbecue pops up, and it crosses the radar. I want to say you're an Eater LA, definitely a shout in LA Times, and I was like, dude, barbecue. It's then I'm like Studio City, 818 guy right here. I'm like, how do I get involved with this thing? Okay.
That's amazing.
So thank you for rubbing it in. So I'm like, how do I get involved? And I'd hear like, oh, we went to this guy backyard. I'm like, dude, this is goats right down the street. How do I get in? And then somebody tells me, they're like, dude, Bert's such a nice guy. All you need to do is reach out and tell him you want to go. And if he's a little hesitant, because he gets a lot of messages, just offer him something. Not like money, but what we had at the time, we had a blood orange tree in our backyard, right? Which I was very proud of. Uh-huh. High producing. We'd squeeze fresh squeeze blood orange juice every day. My son, my wife, my wife would put in these great little carafes to hand to our neighbors as like holiday gifts. I was like, oh, I got it. I'm going to offer him some blood, like a box of blood oranges. And it's not just like regular oranges, blood oranges, delicious, like pink, red inside blood oranges. So I was like, hey, Bird, blah, blah, blah. Like, when can I come? And you answered the first DM, right? You're like, oh, sure. Like next one, I'll like keep you posted, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, great. This is great. And then like somehow I missed it. We didn't like connect. And then I sent another message. You didn't respond. And I was like, this fucking guy. Like, no response. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to offer the oranges. So I like take a picture, like a nice picture of these like boxed blood oranges. I'm like, yo, like I'm going to roll through. I'm going to bring all these blood oranges and blah, blah, blah. No response. And then I'm an only child. So I get a little like, you know, I'm sensitive. And I'm like, fuck this guy. Fuck Trudy's Underground Barbecue. Yeah, not responding. Like, dude, I'm giving him an offering, all this stuff. And, you know, but we move on. We go to a different restaurant. So I kind of like, I don't want to say forgot about it because you were just getting bigger and bigger. But I was like, forget it. I'm not going. Like now I was like, oh, now I'm not going if he ever like responds to DM. Then we have our realtor friend. Shout out Sharona. Great person. Like bundle of personality. Sharona, we miss you. I mean, she's around.
She's all right. She's all right. Like, she's okay.
Like, we miss her because we don't like see her.
She had a baby.
Like,
she had a baby.
Yeah. She's living her life. Yeah. That's what I mean. We don't touch her. So Sharona comes over one day and we're hanging out. And she wasn't this like particularly big food person, right? I mean, she likes going out and doing stuff. And she's like, hey, guys. She's like, oh, Evan, I know you love barbecue. I had the best barbecue the other day. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, where? And then she's like, I don't know the name. It's like a guy, he's a realtor. He like does it in his backyard. And she's like, it was incredible. I never had barbecue. And I was like, fucking Sharona got to go. And I didn't even get to go to like Trudy's. So anyway, by the time we had finally like connected and like made our way,
so funny.
Slab had started. And anyway, so that was the story where I never got to try Trudy's Underground Barbecue.
You know, because you're mentioning these blood oranges and something sounds so familiar about the blood orange thing. And you know, if I didn't respond to it, it was getting busy. There was a time that it was getting busy. But you know, if I didn't respond, it's usually because what I remember, it was usually because there was something about the person or the profile or something that I was talking to that made me a little worried that, is this person with the health department? Is he with the city? is this, you know, so I was judging people by their covers, sort of, you know, just to, you know, I remember being so attracted to colorful people, to any people that were looked any sort of creative. You know, anybody that would message me with no photo, for instance, I would never respond because you never know who it is. And you're also sort of curating a backyard thing. You know, it was like a backyard thing with a bunch of strangers. They're coming by to hang out with a commonality of barbecue and local and whatever it may be. Also, I don't know how local. Some people traveled pretty far. But it was pretty cool. I mean, listen, it was a lot of like-minded people. I had all kinds of people. Like, you know, you're mentioning this oranges. I mean, people would bring different things, you know. It was very cool. It wasn't a requisite at all. It was appreciated. Yeah. People would bring, you know, I loved olive oil. People would bring olive oil all these music business people would bring records and vinyls and like, oh, you know, hey, this is awesome. Because in most of the cases, I would pass these things on to other people and it'd be just an ongoing
mental note, not creative enough, not colorful enough. Yeah. But you know what? At the time, it was just white guy in a Dodger hat, but I was in advertising. So I honestly, and I'm thinking my personal feed was like me and my son, me and my wife, like probably at some restaurants, like at, Anyway, so I get it. So I was, it'd be amazing. I wasn't cool enough.
You know, it'd be the funny.
First time.
Message me again on that account, and I'd love to see the history thread on that. On that, you know, one day I sat down after a beating of a weekend of, you know, barbecue. I said, it's like a really hard work. It's an endurance sport, and I was sitting there in the backyard, wiped. But still, you know, energetic.
Yeah, you got from the adrenaline.
Adrenaline. And just looking at messages, and always just every weekend would just bring this onslaught rush of things because people would be posting things and sharing things. And I remember I got a message from Jonathan Gold, like you mentioned Jonathan Gold. And there was a message from Jonathan Gold, and he said, like, all right, I'll bite or whatever. It said something like, all right, I'll bite. Where's the barbecue? Something like that. And I was thinking, like, oh my God, now I'm really cooked. I'm going to be done if I tell him. And I remember going in circles in my backyard thinking, oh my God, Jonathan Gold, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah, this is it. I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe it. You know, Jonathan Gold, I can't tell him it's going to, you know, and I wasn't a citizen and I was worried I was going to get in trouble and get lose my immigration status. And I'm like, oh my God. And I responded to him, and then I saw that he didn't see my response, and then I unsent it, and I left it unsent, and then, you know, shortly after. Also, by the way, I bumped into him at a restaurant in the city one time, and I sat next to him, and we chatted with him briefly, and somebody mentioned Trudy's to him. And he said, oh, yeah, you know, he said it was pretty good that he's been. And I'm sitting next to him. It's like, it was me. I'm like, you've never been. You know, I'm thinking about something. You've never been. It was so strange. And then that was the last time. And he left us, unfortunately, shortly after. He was the greatest. It was amazing. Would have been an incredible, it would have been an honor for him to come by the backyard.
But you were scared, though, huh?
Yeah, man. I knew nothing. It was a different time. Now, you know, you see some people doing pop-ups. They have full-blown restaurants in their backyard.
Yeah,
full
that's blown. A thing now.
Alcohol.
I've seen that kind of blowing up
alcohol,
on
cash
now.
Exchanging hands. Yeah. There's sales. There's alcohol. Nuts.
And they post it all over the place.
I never sold. Mine was donations. Come in, make a donation. Some people donate a little. Some people donated a lot. But I was never doing it for money.
Yeah.
It was never for money.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
So it was like, you know, I was a real estate agent just looking for a break, to do something different. And people would make their donations. And that was kind of like my insurance policy that in case, you know, Evan does show up and he is with the city, I can't say, nobody can say that, like, this guy is selling. Fair. I was not
just hosting
selling.
Dinner parties.
You know, I was... People come, get barbecue.
Okay, so that's question number one. How did Trudy's Underground Barbecue, as we're like 15 minutes in, question number one, how did Trudy's Underground Barbecue get started? How did it turn into a thing?
You know, it was, I've said it before, Trudy's started really by chance, coincidence. I needed a break. I needed a little something, like a little detox from my everyday mayhem of real estate brokerage life. Which is exciting, but, you know, I needed a break. Don't get me wrong. Right. Needed a little break. And, you know, I went to Texas, loved it, fell in love with it, came back, bought a smoker on the internet, literally PayPal'd somebody, a stranger that I don't know online, like $4,000.
Yeah.
And the next day I had a smoker in my backyard. It could have been gone.
Right.
Sent me the smoker. It was amazing.
From where?
From Texas, from Joshua, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Joshua, Texas. Send me a smoker. I didn't even know the name of the smoker, what I'm looking for. And he said, oh, it's a smoker like Franklin's. And when he said Franklin, I was like, yes, that's what I need.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I started to tinker with it. And, you know, I was making barbecue, briskets, whatever it was, and I was giving them away in open houses. I was attaching barbecue to my offers, to like whatever I can do. I still do that sometimes, you know, when I have to give some, when I need to sweeten the deal, I'll throw in a rack of ribs. but that's how it started, and it really took on a life of its own, you know. And it was very confidential, you know, because when that was going on, I would have friends of mine that would send me links to different stories that they would see. Like, Bert, there's a guy in Studio City doing barbecue. Yeah. It's like, you love barbecue. I do. Let's find it. Let's go. I'm like, okay, find it. You know, because when it was my own friends that would message me,
yeah,
often I would never respond. I had, you know, different. So they, for the most part, nobody knew where it was, and it wasn't like there was a an address where anybody can show up.
Yeah,
you had to go through a system, a process. I knew that X, Y, and Z is coming. They want X, Y, and Z amount of whatever it may be.
Yeah,
and it would all be accounted for. And you know, I had a good system, so no one
who ran the system. You?
I did everything from the communications to the posting to the pickup of the meats to the trimming to the storage, the rub, everything that was 100% me.
And you just put it together? You had no guidance or mentor or anything?
No, nothing. And I would say like, all right, this is, you know, doing barbecue this weekend. Who's in? And I would get a bunch of messages and I'd say, okay, you're in. Take, what do you need? What do you need? 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 4 pounds. And then once I would get to a certain amount, yeah, I would cut it off. And that's it. It was incredible, man. It was amazing.
The people that
would come into the backyard was amazing.
So that defined an era. I mean, that was a special era in Los Angeles, dying and in Los Angeles in general. Why is it called Trudy's?
Trudy is my friend's mom from Canada.
Okay.
Yeah, my friend's mom from Canada. You know, I was making my barbecue and then she would come visit her son, who was a good friend of mine, Stu Stone. She would come visit Stuart and the boys, and she would make her brisket. And they would always joke around, like, oh, this is whose brisket is better? She was making the classic Jewish brisket in an oven. I was doing mine. And then my friend started calling mine the Trudy Special, and it kind of stuck. And then Kevin, who the guy from Free and Easy, the guy that we talked about.
Oh, my boys, Kevin Sarostow. Yeah. Don't trip.
But the guy who made that hat that Mac Miller was wearing on Tiny Desk, he came over one day with the logo for Trudy's Underground Barbecue, smoke meat every day. And he made that logo. And when he brought that logo, it changed everything. So had Kevin not done that, who knows? You and I may not be sitting here. So he made that logo. Wow. And that gave the whole thing life, gave it color. I created a whole Instagram account for it, and then really things start to take off, and that's how I connected with the guys that we started the restaurant, and just it all started from that.
And this is still part of the first question, by the way. What did your like family think though when all this is going on, and your neighbors?
My neighbors. Unfortunately, my neighbors were supportive. You know, nothing that a rack of ribs can't fix. You know,
what about the vegans? And vegetarian?
No, you know, my neighbor loved it. You know, and again, it was manageable chaos.
How big were the sessions?
You know, I never had more in total. I never had more than 50 people, and they would never be at once. You know, so people would come, hang out, pick it up, and leave. So you know, and I mentioned it in my instructions. Please be mindful, neighborhood, you know, don't walk, don't trample on anything. Yeah. And it was very cordial. There's never been any issues with neighbors complaining about anything, about parking. You know, I had like, you know, when there were award shows going on, I've had scenarios where people were pulling up with limousines to pick up cars. Yeah. And all of a sudden you had like a couple of limos in on the street.
Yeah.
So that sometimes created a little congestion.
Turn a few heads.
But dude, that was, you know, it all worked out.
Who did the cleanup and setup?
Everything was me, you know, everything, all the cleanup.
It's a lot.
And plus the cooking of it, man, barbecue, I always say.
But that's the fun.
It is.
It's endurance sport, like you said, but that's the fun part.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's great. I had a music playlist, you know, it was really such a great experience. You know, I don't regret any of it. You know, it was awesome. And it was a special time because it was a unique experience.
Yeah.
That type of dining experience wasn't really common at the time all. It's still unique to many, but it was great. And that era.
Any big names you can say that showed up?
I mean, listen, I had, you know, who did we have? You know, we had studio heads. We had, you know, a guy like, you know, named Tom Hanks, you know, it was a pretty good one.
Pretty decent one.
A pretty good one, you know, and his grandkids, you know, jumping on a trampoline with my kids. That's and I'm looking at my wife thinking like, this is amazing. There've been, listen, there've been some great people, you know, I became friends with many. And also what excited me more was the chefs, the chef community that showed up. Yeah, that's
what I was going to get to. The chef community
that would show up, that many of them that I became great friends with, that was even more exciting for me.
Any of the barbecue legends out here, like Bledsoe, anybody like that?
Kevin Bledsoe never made it by, but him and I, you know, became friendly from that. When I say friendly, it's very loose. You know, so I'll see him at some events, but there weren't many. That's true, I got to take it out on the road, and then through that, I got to meet many of them, and they're great. And those are some of the people that I'll. As I mentioned to you, we're going to bring them out to LA.
We'll get to that. So hold on. But at the time, it was like Bledsoe's. Again, I'm a Huggly Wuggly's guy. Yeah. Baby Blues.
Baby Blues was at the time. Big. There was JR's Barbecue.
You know what I liked was Smoke City.
Smoke City was on Van Nuys.
I know that closed, though. I'm trying to see if that was an overlap, but that was delicious.
That was around the same time. And then there was Barrel.
Barrel and Ashes.
Barrel and Ashes. It was at the same time. Yeah. You know, Tim Hollingsworth started something. Yeah. And he's an incredible chef. And him and I are friends. It was just his birthday. Message him. It's great. There wasn't a lot, and we still don't have a lot, but we have a few, and and some good ones. Phillips, classic old school barbecue and they're doing their own thing. They have their own flavors, very saucy. People love it.
Okay, now number two, you mentioned you're an immigrant.
Yep.
I read. Tell me if this is correct.
Yep.
This is how you were described. An Israeli immigrant with roots in Rhodesia.
Yeah, I was born there in Rhodesia.
Which is now Zimbabwe. That's crazy. Germany and Israel. Well, I guess Israeli immigrants.
Yeah.
Tell me about your background.
I was born
in Rhodesia.
I was born. Yeah, it's a pretty crazy story, actually. It's a fairly wild story. My family is all from the old, Soviet Union, Lithuania and... And they were finally able to get out of Russia, and they migrated to Israel. Yeah. They migrated to Israel. This is in the 70s. They migrated to Israel. My mom's brother, he met a girl in Israel, and together they went back to South Africa. She was from South Africa, and he went with her to South Africa. This is loose story. And then in South Africa, they were flying this little plane, him and another relative. They were flying a small plane. That small plane was shot down when they flew over Mozambique. The plane was shot down.
Okay.
And the plane was down. The other guy was killed. And he was held prisoner for like 3 years. Okay. And, so my mom went over there, for his release. Then he was dead. Then he was kept being released. It was an ongoing story. I'm sure she'll call me to correct me. And but it was for that because of that I was born in South Africa. She was there in Zimbabwe, in Rhodesia, that is, when she was there for his release.
Yeah.
And we were there for a bit, and then we moved from there to Germany. So I did my kindergarten in Germany.
Wow, okay.
I was there, kindergarten in Germany. And then from there, then we moved back to Israel. They moved back to Israel, and we were in Israel for a short period. From maybe 4, 5 until 13. So I lived there a very short period.
That's a decent period.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, it's seven, 8 years,
Right.
In the grand scale.
Those are formative years, though.
Absolutely,
man.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, look, I still have this accent. I still speak Hebrew. I still have this accent.
How many languages do you speak?
I speak Hebrew, English, Russian, and,
German?
Partial Spanish. No.
Okay.
No German, unfortunately.
Interesting. Okay. How do your Israeli roots, or all your roots, should say, affect your cooking, if at all?
I talk about that often, actually. You cook a lot of times out of memory. And I have memories from childhood in Israel growing up. You know, they have incredible food over there in general.
Is there Israeli barbecue? I mean, I'm sure they cook on the flame.
You know, that's a whole other episode. But like, what is Israeli cuisine really? It's like a hodgepodge of things. You have so many immigrants from all over the place that are cooking over there. There is that Texas barbecue and barbecue in general and cooking with fire is very big over there. Yeah. It's very big over there. And they're doing it and it's amazing what they're doing. You know, so it's like an open fire grilling thing. There's a certain smell to the charcoal that they use over there. It's great food over there. The lamb is different in Israel in that region. So I use some condiments that I'll use in some menus that we put together that are familiar to that area, people from that area, whether they're, you know, in Israel and all any country or surrounding, they would be familiar with, that I implement into the menus and some of the spices, you know, a lot of cumins and the hummus that
I make. Big cumin guy.
Yeah. So
that hummus, your hummus is amazing. I'll get to that too. Okay. Tell me, when you came to the United States, where'd you come first and why?
We came straight to LA.
Yes.
Came straight to LA, came straight to the Valley.
At like 14?
At 13. I was 13 in a few months.
Where in the Valley?
We came straight to Encino.
Yeah.
Okay, we came to Encino. Okay. So I've lived in the Valley, you know, since 89. I've been here. And man, I remember I just saw the movie Can't Buy Me Love in Israel.
Okay.
You know, it's one of the legendary movies. And all of a sudden I found myself in that movie, sort of like being here in LA, you know, Degrassi Junior High. Like in Israel, you don't have lockers, you know, in schools. All of a sudden I was going to a school that had a locker, you know, California smelled different. Yeah. You know, I remember a smell and I come across that smell often in at work when I go through some homes. The smell of a garage, you know, that wood and this musty kind of like a smell is one of my earliest memories in America, is that smell. Yeah. So when I smell that, it always reminds me of, you know, that
California
summer.
California garage.
There's a smell to it. You know, listen, it could be a great, it could be a good candle.
I'll tell you, they say that your sense of smell is your most nostalgic sense.
Have absolutely.
You heard that? That's the one that can bring you back, that can transport
and it brings you back. Absolutely.
Okay. So tell me now, question number four, how did you become a realtor? But more importantly, well, not more importantly, but also explain, how did you start balancing that double life once Trudy's became a reality?
Yeah. Well, that's the balancing part of it is something that I'm still trying to figure out, because I got into the real estate thing. I was before my real estate journey, I was in the music business. You know, I was working in the music industry.
Really?
And I spent time at a record label, at Universal Music. And I was working at Nederlander Concerts, which was a great concert promotion company. And at that time, totally dominated the LA concert scene in the early 2000s, late 90s, by being the promoter for venues like the Greek Theater, that they were residents for a long time, the Forum, Staples Center we opened, the Arrowhead Pond, which is now something else, you know, the Bakersfield Arena, the Pantages Theater. Those were all our venues. So I was working with that. And then I got on tour. I was working on tour and I was working on publicity. I was doing publicity, tour publicity for Ricky Martin.
All right.
I was on the tour. And this is La Vida Loca era. This is during La Vida Loca. And Ricky bought a condo in New York.
Okay.
And I was kind of like around that scene, around that transaction, you know, I was aware of it. And you know, this opportunity came up in real estate, and you know, something about it drew me to it, you know, and I can't tell you, I remember exactly what it was. It wasn't money. It wasn't something. There was something just sexy something about it, you know, just putting something like that together. And, you know, there's something about that and food and, you know, restaurants that relates. But, yeah, I got into it, and then I was doing it for like 20 years. Damn. Yeah. And I'm still active. And so when I got into music, you know, it was great. And then from there, when I went into real estate, people were like, he's a real estate. This is a music guy, you know, he's a music guy. Yeah. And then, you know, I was a real estate guy for a long time. And then I was doing restaurants. I'm like, he's doing restaurants. He's a real estate guy, you know, and then he's doing the restaurants. And then going back to focusing on some real estate stuff. I'm like, this guy's a real estate, he's a restaurant guy. So it's like, you know, so it's tough for people to see you in a certain way once they know you as a certain way, you know? Like I see you one way, I don't see you as like, oh, that's the blood orange guy.
Right. You know? Right.
Like, you know, and so people can have a tough time with that, but, you know, you work through it. And, but the thing is, I'm very curious about different things. I'm curious about, food. I'm curious about, just the connection with people, which is what real estate is all about. And I'm just one day at a time, I guess.
It's a great point about real estate and food going hand in hand, because they are people oriented, service oriented. Like, yes. That's a very interesting overlap that I never kind of think about, but it is sort of obvious because you get people open in restaurants.
Restaurant,
but being a chef, being a cook is a different thing. Okay. So Trudy's Underground Barbecue is going. Real estate's going. The market was great, right? Yep, at the time too. So you're living it up. Tell me how Slab came about.
Yeah. Slab was still going. It was by chance, you know. I was going around town handing out packets of barbecue, you know. It was funny. It was like a drug deal, you know.
Right.
And that was something also I was, you know, familiar with growing up in
the valley.
Growing up in the valley. Right. You know, kids have it good these days with everything being legal and then the stores.
Buying weed those days is a little bit different process, right?
Paging and codes and payphones. These kids don't know how good they have it today. But, you know, so I was going around town dropping off, you know, barbecue. And at that point, this is even before Trudy's really took off. People would see it on Facebook, like, bro, what is this, you know? Because people would start posting, like, oh, Bert brought me this. Wow. I got this pack, and they would post, and people would see it, and, you know, it wasn't around. So I was going around town dropping packs off. And then one of my stops was at my friend at the H-Wood Group. I went to visit my friend Brian Toll at H-Wood. What's up, Brian? And his partner, John Terzian, who were still all great friends, and them to have, they started this, the H-Wood Group, which is an incredible hospitality group.
Delilah's, Bootsy Bellows, the nice guy amongst many, there's like dozens.
Plenty. Right. What they've done is incredible. Just opened a Delilah in Dallas. Yeah. Amazing. And so I brought Brian some barbecue, and Brian's like, listen, you know, we want to open a barbecue joint. You want to do it with us? And then at the same time, John walks in the room. I remember him closing the door. He's like, this is great. We want to open a barbecue joint. Would you do it with us? And I honestly had no intentions of doing something like this. Right. I had no intention of opening a barbecue joint. And I was like, okay, let's do it. You know, and next thing I know, we started to look at locations.
Wow.
We started to look at locations, and we opened on 3rd Street. And it was incredible. Such a great run on 3rd Street. I'm grateful for that experience. I'm grateful for them for making it happen. And, you know, I'm actually excited to see what's next that we'll do, actually.
Man. And then Slab kind of like put you on the map as far as credibility. Like, you already had the underground credibility and you were known.
But that was national. That was national. That was amazing. Slab got reviewed by the LA Times.
Yeah, it's a restaurant. Brick and mortar, if people were coming in.
You know, I remember the first day that when we opened, I was so tired. And I remember for a moment, I thought like, oh, okay, great. Because every time I was doing the backyard, I had a week to rest.
Yeah.
And I was so tired, thinking, okay, I have a week to rest, and realizing that, wait a second, we're open tomorrow again.
Yeah.
And tomorrow again and again and again. It was a lot of work.
And learning the restaurant industry is different.
Absolutely.
Doing it yourself, yes, ton of work. But now you got a staff to manage.
Yeah.
higher.
It's a whole other world.
Hours serving, all
the legalities, kind of, everything, doing it, you know, watching labor, food costs,
yeah,
you know, having more cooks in the kitchen. And when I was doing it by myself, when I was doing it in the backyard, I related, you know, the analogy I use is like really in track and field, whether you are running 100 or 400 solo,
yeah,
or you're running the 400 or 800 as a relay.
Yeah.
And you have to rely on everybody to get that baton run, and you know, because if one person is off somewhere,
throws out the whole team.
Yeah. And to get people that really have that culture and that care about it, that care about barbecue, care about you, care about the establishment, it's a challenge.
Man, not to go on a quick tangent, but I was just at a restaurant this weekend. I'm not going to name it, but it was such a disappointing experience. It was a greatly reviewed and renowned place. And I was like, you know, the food was disappointing. The service was disappointing.
That's terrible.
But I was like, you know, it's kind of like you said, and I said this to my wife, I said this to Irene after. I was like, you can tell that this is a place where the management, I don't know if they don't have it under control, but they're definitely not like streamlined, focused, hiring the right people. And from the leadership down, it trickles down to everything because, again, the dishes were disappointing. Our server was disappointing. The host was like, you know, absentee, like even when we first show up for the reservation, like the and I was like, dude, it's such... So many different elements, and people need to be on the same page. And like you said, rowing together in the same.
You
gotta
when you are at the restaurant, you have to feel a certain way. You gotta leave feeling a certain way. You know, I say that a lot. That's a Maya Angelou quote. You know, people remember how you make them feel, and if you don't feel right, it's not even about the money as much. You gotta feel well. You gotta feel right, and that's something that you know people like. Wolfgang Puck, or, you know, like I mentioned before, Howlin' Rays and some others are mastered. You know, they look at you, they see you, they acknowledge you, they make you feel a certain way. So whether you're spending, you know, $200-$400 for a dinner at Spago, or you're spending, or you're waiting for 2 hours in line for a $10 chicken sandwich at Howlin' Rays, you are, you know, you feel a certain way. And that's what it's all about.
Man, that's my wife and I always talk about this because we since then, we know we've always been going out to nice restaurants or just great spots and blah, blah. And yes, you remember certain dishes or certain your favorite foods and places, but we remember the experience more than anything. Like when you think back on a restaurant, it's like the entire experience of what goes into it. At least for us, speaking for myself and my wife and I, I've discussed this, that's more important. Not more important than the food, but at least equally important. And that's what we take away and remember. And you have those fond memories because it's really about the overall experience. Okay. Question number 7, and backtrack a little bit. You went on that trip to Texas. It was a real estate trip.
Correct.
How did that turn into sparking Trudy's and your love for barbecue, but making it real? Because we all go to Texas. I mean, we all go. When you go to Texas, you go to Franklin's, you go to other spots. Like, you're like, oh, I love this. This is so great. Not many of us come back and are like, oh, I got to do this, though.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was a certain point in my life. I was, I don't know, it hit me like that. But, you know, I went for this conference and I got there a little late and that the first day.
And real estate conference.
Real estate conference, a big, it was a big Keller Williams conference, you know, and I was at another company and they were trying to recruit me to come join them. So they flew me out to Austin, put me up in a nice at the Four Seasons. Like they really were trying to get me to join
press.
Really full court press. So I was impressed. It was great. But before I start this whole conference, I'm gonna go get some barbecue. And when I went to just a random spot, I realized that everybody that was there for the conference had this red bracelet. And I saw that other people that were sitting around also had that same bracelet. So I talked to them briefly, like, where are you guys from? What are you doing? And I was telling them, I'm so into the barbecue. I'm excited to eat all this barbecue. And they mentioned another place. And other guys mentioned another place. And I picked up a few things from them that they picked up at the conference itself. Like, oh, you know, they were talking about so-and-so that was dealing with a certain community or a certain product, whatever it may be. And I kept going from one place to another, meeting other people, because the city was packed with people with red bracelets.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And I was getting bits of info from everybody that I was meeting throughout that day. I ended up not going to the conference at all, you know, and not at all, not going to a conference at all. But the problem is that I have people that are hosting me. I'm a guest. and they're not seeing me at the conference. It's a huge conference. It's a huge conference. I mean, the convention center packed. At the end of the day, every day while we were there, there was a dinner that they hosted, you know, and a company, a marketing, mortgage company, whatever, would host this dinner. And I would go to that dinner and I would regurgitate everything that people were telling me throughout the day. So the guy that was telling me about this broker that was dealing only with this kind of property, I was just recycling things that they were telling me. And yeah. They were like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, Bert was there, you know, because I'm telling them things that they so smart. I went on that conference 3 years.
Yeah.
Not once did I step foot into the conference itself. I ended up joining the company. They definitely made their money back. You know, they definitely got their money back, what that they spent on this recruitment. But never went into conference and, you know, went on this barbecue journey like that.
But how did that turn into you doing it, though?
You know, I was just admiring the people that were on the other side of that table. I was admiring, and you know, I had my experience by standing on one side of the table, and they had their experience by standing on the other side, where they get to open the big, heavy door of the smoker. They would take out these big, big slabs of meat. They were slicing. They were getting to do all these things. So it's very similar to like when you go to a museum and you can't touch the art.
Yes.
I couldn't touch the art, you know? And say, you know what? I want that experience. And I was cooking a lot. I cooked a lot leading up to that.
Okay.
I was always cooking. And I wanted to bring in that technique and that flavor profile into what I was doing. I thought it was so cool to do it. I'll do chicken. I'll do this and that. It's going to be great. And I, you know, I came back after my first trip. I got a smoker.
$4,000 smoker?
$4,000 smoker. And I still have. I still have. And that smoker ended up getting named Tootsie.
Yeah.
And Tootsie was named by Tootsie Tomantes, who is like the queen of barbecue. Queen of barbecue. And I have an amazing video. Which is like, Bert, you know, congratulations on your new smoker. I hope you name it Tootsie after me. And she is this 85, 86-year-old woman. She had a whole Netflix episode on her and everything she does with the barbecue. She's an incredible woman. It was like really one of my first things. And that pushed me to I'm like, this is incredible. It's like, you know, she's like the Nancy Silverton of barbecue. Yeah. She's incredible.
So that'll give you that jolt. That's interesting. Yeah. And you describe your flavor as Central Texas with some LA sunshine.
That's right. So I remember that press release.
Right.
I don't remember who wrote it, but I remember that press release.
Somebody did a good job in marketing there. Yeah, I love that. Spoke to me, my reporter.
Yeah. Central Texas is a style of barbecue. You have East Texas, you have West Texas. It comes down to the types of meats, the types of woods. You know, vinegars and whatever, you know, there's different nuances to the barbecue. Central Texas is what you'll find around Austin, Austin to Houston. And so that's the focus. But of course, you know, I'll cook anything as long as we're doing it just with open fire.
Yeah.
You know, open fire. And of course, with the LA sunshine. So it's like doing that barbecue here and bringing in California things. You know, tri-tips and chickens and different things and some citrus and dates and things that you find here in California.
Anything you ever experimented with that didn't work out? I mean, I'm sure there's
anything
notable that you were excited about.
You know, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes things get overcooked. You know, sometimes things get overcooked. But, you know, I've had fish that didn't work, a lot of fish there that didn't wouldn't take on the smoke, or that would stick and or that would flare up and would cause fires. I had a smoker, that the same smoker I mentioned, that was I had a lot of meat in there that you know, I thought I was going to be a hero and just stuff it with a bunch of things, and it started dripping, and at some point the fat caught on fire, and then I had just a massive fire bomb in there, and you had to close everything. It was just an inferno. Unfortunately, the whole thing is made out of steel, so it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But it was infernal. And then slowly I rescued all these beef ribs out of there. You know, I lost a few, lost a few, rescued them. And, you know, nobody found out. But, man, it was burn, baby, burn.
You have pictures?
I do.
I want to see them. All right. Now, number eight. And this is what I'm excited about modern era. Your daily hummus.
Daily hummus.
Tell me about now. I was fortunate enough to get some of this daily hummus, which really is the best hummus that I've tasted. And I was very appreciative. I ran into you in a Vons parking lot. You weren't at Vons. I don't know what you were doing. I was going to my local Vons. I ran into you in the parking lot, flagged you down, and like, you happened to have some of the hummus. I was like, dude, this is great.
Yeah.
I've been seeing this on Instagram, and finally I get to have some. Tell me about the daily hummus.
You know, so growing up in Israel, and just, you know, it's something that I grew up on eating, something that I love. You know, growing up here, you only had so many varieties. And, you know, of course, now there's more craft and or that people are making more of it. But, you know, it's something that I've tried, I've worked on for years, for years. Only recently, and this is a year, a couple of years ago, I feel like I broke through when making it, where it's an art form, you know, making it is an art form. It's a very contentional, is that a word?
I don't think so.
No, but you know, contentious. Dish, of course. You know, especially with everything going on in the world. So you'll have people are saying this kind of hummus is one way, this kind of hummus is another. Okay. Yeah. We had a Mediterranean restaurant, so we had a hummus. Somebody will always complain because there's so many different countries that make it. Of course, there and some claim it's theirs.
Try to find out where it was invented because I did. I went down that rabbit hole once.
I mean,
really
it's,
invented hummus. There's no conclusive evidence that I can find.
Yeah,
but many claims.
But but what we do find about hummus is that it predates most of these countries.
That's a great
predates
one.
Predates and man, if only hummus would be what people would fight about, would be amazing, you know, like would fight about. And, but, you know, so I went on this journey. I make it all the time. There's very similar to barbecue. There's varieties, there's variations to the chickpeas, to the tahini, to the lemons, to the kind of lemons, to the citric acid, no citric acid, the salt, the kind of salt, cumin, the freshness, all these different things that come together, plus the equipment that you're using. Alkaline, pH, water, whatever it may be that will go into making it. And now I feel like I'm making it at a point that like I really, it's hummus that I enjoy eating and I make it. And it's taking me back to the same days of the barbecue because now I'm making hummus all the time and I give it away just like I was doing it with barbecue. But with hummus, you know, I'm constantly getting encouraged and pushed and support to really take it out and get it produced like in scale. And like
I was eating it by the spoonful, by the tablespoonful.
I love that.
Delicious texture. And I used to try to make hummus. I mean, I'm a pretty average home cook, but you know, I like exploring, doing stuff, and there's certain things I do well, but I was really hell bent on making a good hummus for a while. My wife will attest over and over and soaking and different kinds of such. And I can never get the flavor was great, if I may say, but I could never get the texture right. It was always like gritty. There was always a little bit of grittiness there.
Yeah.
And like getting that creamy, that right texture with the flavor is delicious. So we will be expecting a tub of daily hummus here on the show.
Would have been great. Would have been great. We can. Yeah, you know, I had
you
a
know where we're at. You know,
I had a little technical difficulties with the kids, but it's great. Now I make it. I take it to the dog park. I give it away at the dog park. I give it to anybody for honest feedback.
Is that a goal, by the way, really, to like produce it and package it?
You know, I am definitely looking for a new adventure.
Yeah.
You know, I went from whatever explicit stuff, you know, that we're talking about that was before the music business. You know, my kids might listen. But music, real estate, restaurants, different things. You know, I want to get a... I am looking for a new adventure. There are a few things that I'm looking at, but this time to do it with my wife. That you know we can do something. She's a super mom. She's sacrificed the last 20 years for the kids, or 18 or so, 19 years for the kids. And we want to do something that we can do together. And it might be hummus, you know. I'm scared a bit of the cold refrigerated aisle. Yeah. But, and I hear horror stories from Jonathan and Habiza.
Yeah, although he might be Habiza hummus, world's creamiest hummus.
That's right.
Best store-bought hummus, by the way. Shout out.
That's right. At least for now.
No.
It's great. But look, it's great to have that. You know, yeah. you'll go to some markets. You know, you'll go to Erewhon, for instance. You have 100 different SKUs of water. You know, there's 45 SKUs of nut butters. Yeah. You know, like different things. Look how many SKUs of probiotic, prebiotic sodas. And how many of hummus, you know? So there's plenty of room, you know, and what he does is great. And, you know, I'm working on that and a few other things that we're hoping.
I got to tell you, there's a need for it because Emma... my wife loves hummus, carrots, celery, whatever, but dude,
I gotta bring her.
Sabra and all these other brands, not to like talk shit, but I'm just like, they sit in my fridge because I'm like, it's just not the real deal, man.
It's
like,
so mass produced.
I know. And you taste it and I'm like,
preservatives, stabilizers, there's, you know,
texture, all of it.
But it's tough. I mean, you get to a certain point, you know, it's tough, but hummus is a superfood. There's healthy for you. Yeah. It's clean, you know.
And I like the historic aspect of it too.
Absolutely. And there's so many different ways of making it. You know, it's like a blank canvas, you know. You can do so much with it.
Pretty dope. Okay, question 9. Tell me about that celebrity life with Anthony Anderson, Said the Entertainer. What were you doing with them? And then separately, but still the same, Wolfgang Puck partnerships and all that. How did that feel? How does that feel?
It's incredible. Yeah. You know, I got a call that Anthony Anderson and Cedric the Entertainer, two great guys, hilarious guys, were opening a barbecue joint.
And by the way, Anthony Anderson, I got to say, many people know him as an actor. I'm not a big TV guy, movie guy. But I was a big Iron Chef guy back in the day, right? First the Japanese version, then the American. And he was like an OG judge on Iron Chef. So that was like my introduction to him. So when I see like food with him, I'm like, all right, he, at least without knowing much about his background, I'm like, there's some bona fides there. Like, I'm down.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Like, that guy works. This guy's in everything. And, you know, they want to open a barbecue restaurant. At this point, I've done 8 years of a barbecue restaurant, open multiple locations. So I wanted to share with them all of our mistakes, so they can avoid our mistakes. And
how'd you know them? What was the introduction?
So one of our partner on one of our locations is their partner on their venture.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
This guy, Robert Earl, and Robert Earl comes, he's the guy behind Planet Hollywood and the casino and the restaurants and other establishments. This guy is incredible, English guy. And so he's involved with them and he brought up this opportunity. And like I said, I was looking for an adventure.
Yeah.
And so this could be cool. And you know, we put together a menu. We did multiple tastings where we tried different things. You know, I had 6 people at the tasting. I would get 8 opinions about different things. You know, they could never agree on different things. But we did come down to a great menu, very easy, executable recipes. You know, I put together a barbecue sauce that's like an old family recipe of a barbecue sauce that we've worked on for so long. The truth is that, you know, it's a barbecue sauce that my friend Danny put together. At some events, I'll do some events. I'm like, oh, this is my old family recipe. My mom, my grandmother used to make this barbecue sauce in Russia. And people are like, oh, this is nice. My grandmother never heard of barbecue or barbecue sauce. No barbecue sauce in Russia. Yeah. There's no barbecue sauce in Russia. I have no idea what barbecue is. Well, people don't know. But people don't listen. Nobody cares.
Yeah,
it makes a good story.
Yeah.
But my friend Danny made this great barbecue sauce at a Thanksgiving one time. I'm like, man, this is good sauce. He's like, oh, I'll send you the recipe. Sends me the recipe. I took that recipe and I gave it to those guys and we made a recipe. I changed a couple of things. And so we made an incredible barbecue sauce and we made the sauce, we made the menu, the recipes, and it was awesome. You know, we had a great party and you know, it was so much fun. And they're going there at the Century City Mall. Hopefully they'll have many more locations.
It's called AC
Barbecue AC for Anthony barbecue. And Cedric.
That's right.
You know, I got to spend a lot of time with those guys. It was a great experience.
Okay, so Wolfgang Puck now. Now that's like the Mount Rushmore, you know, blah, blah, blah. What incredible. Was that like?
I mean,
being a peer / colleague of incredible. Somebody like that.
Incredible. Look, you know, I got to participate in some amazing events.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's it's something at the Ojai Valley Inn, which is incredible that you mentioned earlier.
Gorgeous. Shout out to Brick. Yeah. Go on.
Incredible place, beautiful place. And they put together this festival with all these amazing chefs, whether it's over there or any of the food and wine festivals. Into what Wolfgang Puck was putting together, he would have this barbecue event, fundraiser, charity thing at the Hotel Bel Air. And the first time I went to that, I snuck in. I snuck into this thing. Okay, and the second time I went to that, I was invited to participate. Man, this is a lineup of Wolfgang Puck, Nancy Silverton, Francis Mullman, you know, all these great names, you know, and I was invited to participate. And then, you know, several times whenever Wolf had a barbecue need for a special event, a catering event, you know, I would get a call and I would help them put it together and logistics and, and schedule and time. And what makes him great, what makes him who he is his ability to listen. He never comes into a scenario with the attitude like, hey, I'm Wolfgang Puck, I'll tell you how it's done.
Yeah.
He will come to your home and he'll watch how you make an omelet and see maybe there's something he can learn from you. That's why he is who he is. He's amazing. And, you know, I have a great video where, you know, we're going over something and slicing him some beef and he's eating it. And I tell him like, and he's very into it and he's laughing, smiling. And then I tell him like, all right, if you ever need any recipes for anything, let me know. And he looks at me like, he taps my thigh. He's like, okay. Okay, and he walks off the camera, walks off the screen. He's like, okay. It's like, okay, relax.
Still waiting for that call.
Yes, but it was great. Yes, and it's all in good fun.
That's awesome. All right, so question number 10, which is really question number like 30. But last and perhaps most important, because now we're talking about the future, you're launching something called Trudy's and Friends.
Amazing.
Tell me all about this. Trudy's making a comeback. What are we doing here?
Trudy's and Friends is actually something that's very exciting. You know, it's what it is, you know, Trudy's and Friends. It's bringing back the Trudy's experience.
Yeah.
But bringing some friends along. And these are some of the friends that I have made over the past, you know, over the years that since the backyard. Great chefs, great characters, great people that I got to meet and play with and cook with and travel with and spend some time with. Great storytellers, great people to come to LA, whether, you know, they're from LA or most of them are not from LA, to come and we will do a one-time, likely one time, maybe two time if it's a weekend, Saturday, Sunday, collaborative menu. And I think it will be an exciting opportunity for anybody around here to meet and try and experience the food of these guest chefs. It'll be a collaborative effort that we'll do together. And they will each benefit either a local, the charity that I work with or someone that they work with. Okay. So it's not about the money really. I mean, like, we'll bring them in. We'll put them up here nearby at the hotel. They'll get to see LA. They'll hang out. They'll have friends here as well. And we'll raise some awareness, some money, a few bucks. You know, we're not going to cure any diseases, but something for any charity. I work a lot with Alex's Lemonade. LA Loves Alex's Lemonade, which is an amazing charity for pediatric cancer. They have a great event every year in October in UCLA at the Royce Hall. Not the hall, but this
outdoor area.
The Quad. Amazing lineup of chefs. True honor to participate in it. It's always, I look at it as like an Olympic team over there. It's all these great chefs and people that I admire. No Kid Hungry, The Hope, the
yeah, good organizations. Yeah, good,
great organizations. And they will have some as well. So I, you know,
where is it going to be at? When does it start? We're throw some names at us.
Yeah, yeah. So, we had one test run already, like a little practice run with, and we did it in my backyard. Okay. You know, where we knew best.
Yeah.
We did it in my backyard with, La Barbecue, Ali Clem from La Barbecue in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
First barbecue joint to Texas barbecue joint to get an actual Michelin star. Wow. Amazing.
Okay.
And now do you have three Michelin, now you have three one Michelin star, places in Texas, which are amazing. Another one is Leroy and Lewis, which also will be coming out to LA.
All going to be barbecue themed and focused?
All will be open fire
cooked.
You know, it doesn't have to be Texas style, but like I'll bring a whole hog guy to like someone like Pat Martin out of Nashville, legendary guy, sweetheart, great guy. Love the guy. I'm proud to call him a friend. Pat Martin, James London of Chubby Fish in Charleston, South Carolina. Incredible. One of my favorite restaurants and experiences. Amazing guys. Amazing guy, him and his wife, Yo-Yo. Great people from Charleston, South Carolina. That's Chubby Fish. Pat Martin, Javier Plasencia from Baja California.
We'll do a Caesar whole salad lineage. Yes, Caesar. Yeah.
We'll do the whole, you know, he'll bring some fish from Baja, you know, characters like Benny Blanco, good friend of mine who loves to cook, who's doing different things, you know, be great. You know, maybe we'll bring in, you know, Matty Matheson.
So hot. Wow.
I would love to bring in, while he's in town, Rene Redzepi from Noma.
You know, little busy with those $1,500.
He's busy. Sold out.
Person.
Sold out.
I know.
He's great.
I know.
They just did a bagel with Courage Bagels. And,
did they really?
Yeah, yeah. It was bananas. It was great. I loved it. And so he came out to that. So hopefully I can wrangle him in to do something. And quite a few others. We're looking at a couple of locations.
Yeah.
There's a barbecue location in the area that would be probably perfect for it, but there's another. So we're both in Studio City.
Okay.
So we're trying to figure out realistically where would be best. There are a few places that, but you know, just like Trudy's was, you know, it's going to take some kind of a spark.
Yeah.
Some kind of a moment that will ignite the whole thing and say, okay, this is the place. This is the scenario. Let's do this. And so this will be taking place soon, starting, you know, in early spring, March, April, and going into the summer, through the year.
Where can people follow? Where can we find out information?
Trudy's Underground, barbecue on Instagram. You can
I think there's underscores, right?
There's some underscores. But if you do Trudy's, it'll come up.
Right.
You can find me on, you know, Bert Backman, on Instagram. But, the word will get out there. When I did it with La Barbecue just now, all I did was mention it in our neighborhood group chat. And I said, hey, I got La Barbecue coming. And I had about 60 racks of ribs that were pre-ordered within an hour, and that was that. So I never even got to take it anywhere outside.
Wow.
So
that's I have a feeling it's gonna be pretty successful.
Yeah, come don't on. You know, listen, we don't, and depending where we take it,
yeah,
you know, we want it to be fun, we want it to be a good time. You know, I'm gonna bring the guy, the banjo guy from the farmers market in Studio City to play. It'll be fun.
Sweet. Yeah,
local guys. But to bring that environment, you know, bring that barbecue vibe. And it doesn't have to be a barbecue. I'm going to bring Mike Solomonov from Zav in Philadelphia.
I have incredible his book in my kitchen now. Yeah.
He was one of the first people to say yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he was awesome. One of the first people to say yes. You know, I've done many barbecues with, you know, Dave Grohl, great guy. You know,
local
I haven't chatted
guy.
With him, local guy, big barbecue guy. I haven't chatted with him in a while, but you know, hopefully I can get him to come and do this.
He supports.
Yeah, I've done so many barbecues with him.
Yeah.
So hopefully he was, so, you know, we'll see, but it'll be fun. And it'll be right here, Studio City.
That's awesome. Do I get an invite?
Whether 100%.
All right.
Bring those oranges, though.
Well, I got to go. Now I got to go ask the person who lives in that house. If David's
Well, we can use those. You can use it. And people would bring different things. We always incorporate it into.
No, that's awesome. Well, dude, Bert Bachman, I appreciate you. Thanks
amazing
for
to be here.
Interesting story. Great evolution. You know, dual life, but really created a legacy out of something, out of nothing, really, in a backyard in Studio City. So you know that that has my heart and my chest, actually.
I love it. I need that in an XL.
So I'll ask my wife, custom made. This is a 1-of-1 and was formerly a Mac Miller sort of creation. So figure it out. Trudy's and Friends, though, we'll be looking out for it. Follow Trudy's Underground Barbecue. Follow Bert Bachman and get ready for some great barbecue, LA.
That's right. Barbecue and hummus and peace and love.
And we need some daily hummus. I am demanding daily hummus.
Coming up.
All right. Thank you, Bert, for coming in. And everybody appreciate you. And all right, LA. It's been a minute.